All right. Good evening. Good afternoon. Good morning. And good night. It's the Fakeologist Show. It's the last week before next week's vacation week, because it's the middle of February. It's the probably one of the dreariest low points in the Canadian winter. Sort of at the halfway point, I would say. Two-thirds point. So we're going to be off next week, starting Sunday. So today is Sunday, February the 8th, 2026. I woke up. It was minus 22 Celsius. What was it where you live, Peter?
We reached a high of 27 today and a low at night of maybe 8.
Yeah. Well, our high is minus 15 today. But yeah, so that's crazy. Thanks everyone for joining tonight. This is Prophet of Fiction Time, Sunday night, where we mentally masturbate, according to one of the commenters last week on last week's show. Did you read that one?
During our show?
Well, they put it in the comments at fakeologist.blog. Let me just go down here and see if I can find it. Prophet of Fiction, the two replies to last week's show. Let's see here. Where are they?
That was the food show.
Two comments. They're not here. Newest? Oldest?
Well.
Maybe it's this blocking. Maybe this thing is, it's, you know, this blocking nonsense. Oh, it's so annoying. I'm going to have to turn off. This uBlock thing is terrible. Pause you. Okay. So it's blocking the comments. This bloody, let's see here. I'm just going to take it off. You blocking this off. It's blocking everything.
Block the blockers.
So that's why I can't see half of my website, because it gets blocked by the blockers. So let's replicate now.
Yeah.
Does that work? Oh, man. I want to read these comments. But now the blocker's not working. Okay, I'll look at it on Brave. I don't think Brave is nearly as nasty to the website.
Well,
let's see here. Oh, it's not showing there either.
Well, we got a hello anyway for today.
Waka Soto likes this. Erica Creech. Hello, Erica. Okay, I can't see it on Brave either. It flashed on my screen for a second, but then it went away. So what the hell?
Well, who is that using the word masturbation in vain? Is there any, I mean, it's not a point of pride for anyone, but is there anything wrong with it? Come on.
Yeah, really? Come on now. Let me look up on the top here under blog latest comments. See if I can see it that way. Blog latest comments. Okay, so we're just going to scroll down here, see if we can find the show we were on. Prophet of Fiction. Ironic that a show dedicated to exposing media fakery is continually promoting fiction. Unfortunately, the host doesn't have any knowledge. Okay, thank you, Gene.
Yeah, we'd like to have a little more reason to believe that, some evidence that we don't know anything.
Now, Reverend Black Dog was responding to the FAK 1193, Prophet of Fiction, A World of Fake Nation States. Didn't we have it all figured out when we were young? Some so ingrained with it, they never even questioned. I guess dot, dot, dot means there's more comment. So let me click on this real quick to get the rest of the comment. Well, look, it's showing here. Well, most total unquestioning sellouts. Thanks for keeping us thinking. Good shows, Prophet and Ab. Okay.
Nice.
That's positive. We'll go back to here. And here's the one. Christopher McComb says, this is last week's show, FAK 1209. This Prophet of Fiction is a complete clown and mental masturbator. Imagine going from Drake Shelton, Southern Israelite, to this derelict. Well, we did have Drake Shelton on, who is, I think, a Christian Israelite.
Wow.
Yeah. But he's very, very well spoken. I did enjoy him on the show. He was invited back because he did another episode to his series on the Catholic Church, basically. Mm. He exposes the Catholic Church to being the beast and the beast system.
Right.
But he's welcome back. Okay, well, hey. Well,
wasn't appreciated by someone who specializes in eloquent insults. Yeah.
Okay, so that's it. Those are the most recent comments. So thank you, all the recent commenters. That was fun. We always enjoy comments, don't we?
Yeah, destructive or attempts at destructive.
Well, let's put it this way. He listened. Isn't that all we want? He listened to the show.
Right. Okay.
Don't forget, most people don't listen to anything. So he listened. So thank you. Thank you so much. Thanks for listening. So what are we talking about tonight?
The great, or is it Great Wall of China? I don't know. One of the world's biggest engineering feats, if not the biggest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think it gets 1 million visitors a year. We have to, revise our understanding of what that beast was all about. It was some years ago that I looked at it and looked at the map and said to myself, now why is this called the Great Wall, singular, of China? It is actually a number of walls. And some are running parallel, east to west. Some are looping around, connecting with another wall, and supposedly built by different dynasties over a period of, I don't know, it's almost 1,000 years. So something fishy about that.
Okay. We're not buying it?
Sure.
We're not buying it.
No, that was... No, not at all. And of course, they are selling us the war... Oops, I got shared the wrong...
Ancient war passages near Beijing.
Beijing, yes, indeed. Let's see. Stop sharing. Got to share the right one. Let me close that. They're selling the war narrative again, and that doesn't hold water on this platform. Not usually. So.
We're skeptics galore. We accept all skeptic information.
You know, the accepted explanation is that those walls, I'm stressing the plural, were built to...
recently.
No, they were built to protect the Han Chinese civilization from Mongols, from Huns, H-U-N, and some other tribe. And these tribes were supposed to be... pastoralists riding around on horses and camels. Really? I mean,
where is the Great Wall? What are we looking at? There's all kinds of lines here.
Believe it or not, all those lines represent walls built by different dynasties.
Okay.
So that's why I'm saying it's not a wall. So that's the first mistake.
There is no great wall. There are just many walls.
Indeed.
Okay, so you could go to any one of these walls and it's called the Great Wall?
I suppose. Most of the tourists are going to very limited sections.
Yeah.
Mostly near Beijing.
Now, one thing about the Chinese, they do have amazing engineering, mostly probably from the West. We're building tunnels and bridges over there for them or with them at a incredible clip. And of course, all kinds of infrastructure.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that. It's the Western technology and know-how that comes to the East, and we develop, so to speak, the East with the help of Eastern labor and support. I think exactly the same thing happened with the Great Wall.
So it wasn't a bunch of Chinese farmers that did it.
No, it's, I believe it's
the British,
the European Western aristocracy.
I want to also ask you another, because this is similar to the topic we're talking about, because you're in the Spanish Empire right now.
Yeah.
I guess you're going to live your days out there.
We'll
see. And just recently, I've been watching a lot of YouTube video travelers, you know, the types, they go all over the place. And a lot of them love the Spanish Empire because I guess it's warm. And one thing I've noticed is that a lot of these Spanish colonies, even though I don't think they like to be called ex-colonies, they're so backwards, and they're just having so many problems, or they've had so many problems over the last 100 years compared to, say, the British ones. I know this is a generalization, but I want to get your comment on that, if you could, about what you think. That what is the problem with all these ex-Spanish colonies that they can't get their act together, and they're just collapsing all the time? This is relevant to Canadians, because Canadians love Cuba, because for the longest time, Americans were boycotting it, so we had our run of the island. But I think Cuba is in free fall right now. It's on the verge of collapse again.
Mm-hmm.
So do you have any comment on that? Because you're uniquely qualified, I think.
I guess. I'm not sure if living here helps, but I'm not sure if the Latin-speaking world here is doing worse than Africa, but it raises the question, why is the South doing so badly, and why is immigration almost entirely moving as north, to the north? And I think that's by design, because in the north, you become very dependent on technology, and very vulnerable to people playing with your electric grid. I don't know. There's no way I could live, independently in the north, because I couldn't grow enough food for myself. I think this is a long-term plan to get people out of climates where you can actually support yourself.
Okay.
And get people out of the south, the tropics especially.
Can you just sort of concentrate on my question? Why are so many Spanish ex-colonies failing all the time and always on the verge of collapse?
I think that's on purpose, in order to encourage northwards migration.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So they want to keep those nations in chaos so people
keep going.
We can have cheap labor up here.
Yes, cheap labor and people who I think ultimately would they want us all to be dependent on their system, which is high tech or low tech, but some tech.
Yeah.
And as I say, in the South, you could live without any tech.
Oh, I see what you mean. Okay, that's a good answer.
Yeah. It's a very long-term agenda. And it squares also with the attack on, you know, raw foods, whole foods.
So it has nothing to do with just being an ex-Spanish colony. That's just a coincidence. They're all Spanish compared to British colonies.
Yeah, I think. And they're all, as I tried to argue with that, the podcast about the all nations are fake.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're all ultimately controlled by the same cabal.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, so.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder what the plans for Cuba are, because even the hotels are closing, you know, as we speak. A lot of them are out of power, out of whatever basic supplies. This is happening this week.
Wow.
The travel warning on for Cuba.
Yeah. Well, shall I plunge into some of the text?
You can see right here, 3 hours ago, some Cuban resorts are closing due to fuel shortage. Fuel shortages, resorts closing. Well, you can't see because I'm not sharing that. Just quickly.
Right.
I just want to make my point so you can see here. Whole hotel was relocated.
Right. Well, it does link also to what I'll present today, because the Great Walls of China are not in the south of China. They are in the north. It's not really about technology in this case, but I think this is where their preferred food roamed, as I'll discuss later. Easy pickings, I think it's called the Mongolian steppe.
Yeah.
Very similar to the Great Plains.
Yeah.
Once upon a time, full of ruminants, herbivores, large ones, and no longer now. And yeah, anyway, that's I think that was their food source. Something that, you know, doesn't get discussed by academics. How were they feeding themselves as they're building a wall across semi-desert and desert mountains and so on? They weren't.
You don't think it was a Hadrian's Wall to keep out the enemy? You think?
No, that's right. That's the same story, right?
The war is full of holes.
the wall looks like it was. The walls were look like they were built by a drunkard. Some of them run north south.
They're haphazard.
And loop back. Yeah, exactly. And,
so, is there any geographical pattern to these walls?
Well, this one seems to run along a ridge. I think they were building where their favorite food source, their easy food source, was available.
The great. So they're corrals?
No, no. Why are they built? Well, I'm kind of plucking ideas from the text. Why don't I just read it?
Well, go ahead.
Yeah.
It's hard to read on this screen, so.
Okay.
Go ahead.
China holds the world record for the most famines, the world's biggest engineering feats, the most large pyramids.
Where are they?
In a secret location. It's bizarre when you see it. You'll see 100 pyramids.
I didn't know there are pyramids in China.
Yeah, another one of those bizarro facts. And the world's largest temple complex. Among engineering feats, the Great Wall of China is famous. Its thousands of miles would connect Los Angeles to New York 5 times. But why was it built? Unlike other historians, I reject the war and defense narrative. I believe it is one countless testament to the insanity of humanity, particularly of a Western cult I dub the WCC. The war narrative is full of holes. Historians tell us that huge wall built to defend China from marauding Mongols to the north, that huge wall was built. But the Mongols were pastoralists riding goats, horses, and dromedaries. How would they threaten the militarily superior Han Chinese? Here are a few other reasons for rejecting the defense narrative. The wall is actually a series of walls that are not connected, so they can't stop mobile nomads and herders. Many parts of the walls cross territory that is already impassable. Many parts cross terrain that would challenge mountain goats, and many parts of the walls cross deserts, which dromedaries would hesitate to cross.
Is that an ass?
Dromedaries is the tube-humped camel.
Oh, right, the camel.
Yeah, some later walls were built south of the northernmost walls, almost parallel to them. Why to the south? That's ridiculous. If your enemies are to the north, the building projects lasted many centuries. Well, together, sometimes nearly a decade for individual walls. They speculate. So the wall rose much slower than mounted horses can move, obviously. If boys as young as 15 were enslaved to build the Great Wall, the Mongol threat must have been imminent and near. So who has time to build a wall? No other empire or kingdom has attempted to defend itself with a giant wall, because walls are impractical for defending an entire country. Historians provide no evidence that the walls ever helped stop an invasion, or that any invasion was launched during the years Chinese built their walls. The Great Wall's atrocity allegedly stopped in 1878, long after England, the US, the French, and to a lesser degree, Russia began the Opium Wars against China. That ended in 1860 with the defeat of the last Chinese dynasty. So why did the Chinese continue building walls for 18 years after seafaring Europeans, not horseback Mongols, had obviously conquered China? Could history be a lie? While the conventional history of the Great Wall of China is full of holes, the walls were built. How? Fear of invasion is a lie. It alone could not motivate millions of Chinese to waste their time building a wall to prevent an invasion by an enemy they never saw. And they too would know that pastoral tribes do not threaten anyone in inhospitable, rugged mountains and deserts. So the question arises, what motivated a million or more slaves to help the WCC build its walls and towers? My best answer is that the slaves didn't know how to live outside the slavery system. Does that sound familiar? What are we living in today? They were building through inhospitable lands where men cannot easily feed themselves, so they depended entirely on their masters to feed and even water them. But how could that be possible? How can humans, the most intelligent species on Earth, depend on other humans to feed them? My best answer is that the master class, the WCC, built the Great Walls of China with millions of Chinese slaves raised in underground human farms. Such slaves would not know how to provide food for themselves. They would be a captive workforce. And if they were also given pacifying drugs, they might work until death. Does China have any large underground complexes in which millions of slaves could be raised or even bred? Surprise, surprise. Beijing has its 85 square kilometer underground city reputedly capable of housing 6 million people. Officially, the underground city was built during the Cold War in the 1970s, but mysteriously, it was never used and not open to visitors until the year 2000. Recent photographs and videos reveal a tunnel system that cannot be the product of 20th century digging technologies, especially because near Beijing, the Japanese were already digging long tunnels for transportation through its mountains. Here's a photo of a tunnel that is part of the underground city. Seems possibly hand dug. Not common really among these underground complexes around the world, but it's probably not 20th century work. Secondly, around Beijing and to the south, never too far from the ocean, exists a 1,600 square kilometer underground complex misnamed the Ancient War Passages and sometimes misnamed the Underground Great Wall. It is not a single tunnel, but a complex, multi-layered spatial matrix estimated to cover an area of 1,600 square kilometers. It extends roughly 65 kilometers east to west and 25 kilometers north to south. Historians are spectacularly wrong in believing this was a vast defensive system, as if you would want an army hiding underground, anticipating an invasion. Passages include winding tunnels, secret doors, and halls, with some, like those discovered near farmhouses, featuring massive stone beds, lamps and other living facilities. Now, here's a little picture of a tunnel of this supposedly 1,000-year-old ancient war passage. It looks surprisingly better than the Cold War tunnel of 50 years ago. Shockingly. Nonsense we get. Other significant underground sites in China include the Longyu Caves, which are visited by tourists. These 24 massive man-made caverns cover roughly 30,000 square meters, a lot smaller. If my theory explains how the Great Walls were built, I should still explain why they were built. We might be tempted to find a rational explanation, but clearly the Great Walls were not built by rational people. I suspect the WCC's Chinese arm was simply motivated by a stupid sense of pride and power. Power over other human beings, power over the animals they hunted, power over nature, and the vain pride they felt from building a wall whose length nearly defies comprehension. But how did the WCC feed its above ground million or more slaves in remote areas of China? Did they call for food delivery? The Great Wall stretched through Eurasia's easternmost steppes or plains, a vast region of semi-desert grassland. Large ruminant mammals were surely as abundant there as they were on the Great Plains of North America. Species included the large Altai wapiti elk, Mongolian gazelle, Zyga antelope, Mongolian wild ass, and the Bactrian camel. Of course, the WCC did not hunt with bows and arrows. That's not an effective way to feed a massive slave force. What weapons did they use? Stone grenades were discovered near the Badaling section of the Great Walls. They are hollowed out stones filled with gunpowder and a fuse designed to explode on either contact or impact and to create fire and fragmentation damage. Ignorant archaeologists maintain the war narrative and believe the stone grenades were used to defend against invaders, you know, men riding on horses. I suspect they were used to hunt. Once prey were incapacitated by a stone grenade, the WCC used airships and large nets to move and ship the dead and injured bodies to towers along the Great Walls. There they parked, loaded, and unloaded. There are towers galore. Where did the WCC's noble members sleep and eat? Although some parts of the Great Walls are near major cities with old cathedrals and colonial buildings, the Great Walls include 7,000 to 25,000, sorry about the huge range.
Watch the range.
Yeah. Many with sufficient space for cooking and sleeping and for accommodating quite a team. Okay. If you are not convinced that slaves built the Great Walls for no rational or practical purpose except to be fed and survive, consider the fact that modern China has 50 million people working in its construction industry.
So wait, are you saying it was just a make-work project?
That, and of course, it just appealed to the egos of the master class. Mm-hmm. Has no other function. Mm. They are masturbating, you know, with a million slaves and by destroying the ecosystems.
Mm-hmm. Supposed to keep them off the land, tilling the land, that kind of thing.
Keep them off the land?
Yeah, even farming.
So I don't understand.
Well, to build the walls, these millions of people aren't doing their pastoral duties. They're not farming.
Right. Well,
Suzette wants to know what WCC stands for.
Yeah, I play around with that quite a bit. Often it's the Western
controlling class.
I haven't actually used that, but that's good. Yeah, the Western or the world controller. Sometimes it's just WC. Sometimes it's the Western cannibal cult, Western carnivore club.
Yeah, that's your carnivore theory. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But regarding your question, I think, I don't know if you missed or forgot that I'm arguing that the whole thing was built by a slave class raised underground.
Yeah, sorry, I might have been scrolling, so, trying to fix the website while you were talking. I apologize. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, they were raised underground. That meant they wouldn't have any clue about how to feed themselves when they were brought above ground.
Mm-hmm.
And well, that I was speaking to a friend today, and isn't that where we are now? People who don't like the world they're living in, but don't know how to live in any other way, just have to plod on.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one reason why I would argue that they want migration from the south to the north, so that you become dependent on the big beast system.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Well, if you're not convinced that the whole thing was built for no rational or practical purposes, except, I mean, with regards to the slaves, that they did it for no other reason than to be fed and to survive, well, then consider the fact that modern China has 50 million people working in its construction industry, which built an unknown number of empty cities. I can't get clarity on that. The workers do not care that their cities are empty. They work simply because they need jobs with which to feed themselves and their families.
Yeah. My take is that's just a central planning defect.
Overproduction, or?
Yeah, they just miss the mark. That does happen in the West too sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Could be that for sure. In any case, there's a lot of people doing work for no other reason than to feed themselves and their families.
Well, that's in the West too.
Yeah.
Called bullshit jobs.
Right. Who wrote the great book about that? Yeah.
Could have that guy on the show.
Well, he died.
Bullshit
he was
the jobs guy?
Yeah. He's no longer with us.
David Graeber.
That's him. Yeah. Yeah, it's too bad. Anyway.
Let me just see if you're right. They look kind of messy. Yeah, you're right. He died in 2020 in Venice. He was only 59. That's a terrible age to die.
Yeah. I liked his work.
Debt, The First 5,000 Years is another book he wrote. The Utopia of Rules, Bullshit Jobs, The Dawn of Everything.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he got married in 2019 and died in 2020.
Oh, let's not speculate.
Yeah, I'm just reading his Wikipedia page.
Yeah.
That sucks.
Yeah, it does.
Dying does suck. Let's be quite honest about things.
Well, the less you would have a enjoyable life, yeah, the worse it's going to seem, because it feels like you're being cheated.
Yeah.
Beautiful church here in Beijing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm visiting the local churches here, and
is that Catholic?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we can make a lot of ado about the stylistic differences, the similarities are astonishing. It's basically the same machine, the same
people,
facility. Yeah. Yes.
Cygirl says, within the shadow of the great cathedral, serf lived in thatched huts.
Perhaps underground instead, this is a bigger operation with a lot more technical support and a much larger master class than we would like to imagine. I mean, this this aristocracy that I call the WCC, when I see all their colonial slash Tartarian structures, inner or old cities here in Mexico. Yeah, there were at least a million of them just here in North America. I've asked AI to calculate too for a few cities how many people could be accommodated in the colonial cities.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's large numbers, 50,000 probably just in the capital of Oaxaca.
Mm-hmm.
And more than that in Mexico City. So we're dealing with a huge, although I like to say we're not dealing with 13 black nobility families or a committee of 300. We're dealing with millions. And I think they just went under the radar when they shifted gears from this old Tartarian system to the current financial agricultural system. Mm-hmm. They just put on suits instead of their whatever they wore before, and let us inherit their cities, moved to the countryside, to the coasts, wherever they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, the New World Order was born. Anyway, a couple more paragraphs. The Great Wall's westernmost point is in Gansu province at the Jiayu Fortress. However, west of this point, traces of a more primitive wall exist. It is straight as a ruler for hundreds of miles over the desert. Why was it built? We can speculate that somehow tribes fought over desert territory and built walls, but not dwellings or even wells. Or we can speculate that insane people with dependent slaves enjoyed using their slaves to build whatever they wanted, almost wherever they wanted. The words created by the world controllers can also be decoded by anyone willing to assume that the creators of our written histories enjoy manipulating us, not only physically, but mentally. Thus, some historians tell us that one section of the Great Walls was built to defend the Han Chinese from the wicked Huns.
Mm-hmm.
Let's reflect on these rhyming names.
Han and Huns.
Han and Huns. Is this a Jesuit spelling game? And Hans is a common German name, and German Nazis were once called Huns as an insult. These are the jokes written by the world-controlling cult. Lastly, the Silk Road was supposed to be a trade route between Europe and China for merchants on camels and horses. Can you imagine crossing Eurasia on beast back with wagons full of merchandise, including fragile China, for thousands of kilometers with no restaurants and hotels along the way, with impassable mountain ranges obstructing passage? You can imagine it, but can you do it? The idea is absurd. But the name Silk Road does hint at another reality. Forget the story that silk was transported across Eurasia by wagon. Zeppelins wrapped in silk traveled from Western Europe across the Eurasian continent. Therefore, they cleverly named it the Silk Road.
Wow, flying airships were wrapped in silk?
Yes, that was the material of choice.
That's what they were made of? Silk?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Large amounts.
So. Waka Soto is saying the slaves were kept underground to deprive them of the sun and keep them weak.
I suppose that was maybe an unintended benefit. I think, yeah, they certainly want weak slaves and many ways to produce them.
Mm-hmm.
But I think maybe the primary motive was to deprive them of the knowledge of how they can live above the ground. After the first generation, whatever knowledge the first prisoners, captives had would be quickly lost. And
it says here the classic German Zeppelins were not made of silk. They were rigid metal frameworks, usually Duralum.
Yeah, that might be a later development.
Early gas cells were rubberized cotton, later mostly gold beater skin. made from cattle intestines and by the Hindenburg era cotton fabric with gelatin latex coatings.
Okay. I'll have to double check, but I'm sure I didn't just pull that out of the air.
Okay.
Can ask AI, would silk be good material for airships?
Wait. Yes, silk was used, but only in a limited way on a few airships. Right. Not as the main outer skin.
Right. So that's the public information. I suspect maybe. Yeah. Anyway.
Some other lighter than air craft of the era, for example, the Norge expedition airship used rubberized silk for gas cells, again as an internal gas holding fabric, not the external hull covering. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that's interesting.
Yeah. Well, that's the Great Wall of China presentation. I could do a small.
That was good.
I hope. I'm glad you like it.
So, in summary, what were the walls were make work projects? They had no real military purpose.
Correct.
In mind.
Yeah, incorrect. And
were they built like the pyramids for future tourist attractions?
I don't think so. I think the pyramids are also a. What's the word? A grand deception, an attempt to make us think that the biggest and most interesting mysteries are out there in Egypt or, where they have the geoglyphs in Peru and Syria. I think all those constructions are distractions, jokes, and the real mystery is underneath our feet, as the tunnel system is underneath Beijing, and it's these huge engineering projects. Those things need to be questioned. I don't think the pyramids in Giza are. I don't see them as anything more than a joke right now. You know, these people had so much time and resources and slaves, they could just build anything anywhere whenever they wanted. And nothing serious happened besides that at the Giza pyramid complex. No, they're not burial sites. Otherwise you would expect some names or statues of the people buried there, and the pharaohs supposedly buried in them began these projects to build their own crypts while they were young and spent 30, 40 years doing that. I don't think that makes any sense. If you're a pharaoh, you would have better things to do with your time, and you certainly wouldn't dwell on your future death.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah.
Anyone wants to call in, they can call in and ask Peter a question.
Yeah, the pyramids are also connected to lots of stories about cannibalism, not the Egyptian pyramids, but others. And that's part of the grand deception to blame everyone else, basically, of cannibalism while it went on inside our cities. It's a nice psyop.
Interesting. Well, call in if you want, anybody. We got a few more minutes left where we can take your calls. If you have any questions, just to let people know, we had a big show on the weekend on the Discord. I'll render that in the next couple days. Many, many hours Saturday, many, many hours today on Sunday. And so if you want to join our Discord, you can join at shortfake.com/Discord.
Yeah.
And the phone numbers are on the bottom of the screen if you want to call in tonight. Any questions? Lynn is in the chat talking about some of the pyramids. She says the term Huns was first used by Teddy Roosevelt in the early 20th century to describe German advisors to the Spanish army in Cuba.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
There's the German China connection. Hans and Huns.
Mm-hmm.
Hans and Gretel, that lovely story about a witch planning to eat children. You know, sorry, I just have to mention cannibalism again. Of course, it had to be witches and women and mm-hmm. country people, not civilized urban aristocrats. They wouldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. A few paragraphs on famines, if you like.
Go for it.
All right. A few decades ago, the media began presenting stories about famines in Africa. Apparently, droughts were spreading, forcing Africans to depend on toxic flour imported from Russia, Ukraine, and North America. Few, if any, Africans actually starved to death, but the media reported millions of deaths. If Africans actually disappeared, I suppose that's because millions were relocated. To where could such people be disappeared? Could planes deliver refugees to secret islands without our knowledge? Africa is an enormous continent, so if Africans are being moved to other places in Africa, surely in this cell phone world, they could not disappear. Even with mechanically aided irrigation, desertification is happening. China is now at war. It is not invading armies that are claiming its territory, but expanding deserts. Old deserts are advancing and new ones are forming. China loses over 4,000 square kilometers of arable land per year. Over the last century, some 24,000 villages in northern and western China have been entirely or partly abandoned, maybe because of urbanization and job pressure, but also as a result of being overrun by drifting sand. But maybe farms were abandoned because the new economy forces rural people to earn money in big cities. That's probably a secondary cause. To resume the famine narrative, the focus should be on the future, not the past. The future famine is delayed due to the miracle of mechanical pumps sucking water out of rivers and aquifers for farm irrigation. Without this miracle, industrial farming at current levels would be impossible. Thus, famines are postponed until the time our aquifers are empty, which some predict will happen during the 2030s. That could be fear porn, but I've seen some troubling signs of falling water tables. According to historians, some wars were fought by depriving entire nations, not of their traditional forest-based foods, but of agricultural crops. That allegedly is what happened in Ireland from 1845 to 1849. Although scholars originally blamed the Irish famine on failed potato crops, some scholars offer good evidence that England deliberately confiscated too much of the Irish potato harvest and thereby caused the famine, which in turn compelled hundreds of thousands of Irish people to migrate to the US. But what if this food war is also false? Photos from the Great Hunger period in Ireland do not document starving people, but the Irish did migrate. Well, what if they abandoned Ireland because life was difficult, not impossible? Today, and maybe this is connected to my story that, you know, around that time, the 1800s, maybe earlier and later, huge numbers of slaves raised underground were released for the New World Order.
Well, they needed them over here.
And
the British deliberately confiscated the food. And we've done a show on that with an Irish guy in Chicago. I wonder if he's still alive because he was in his late 80s.
Right, right.
The fake Irish Holocaust.
Right.
that was just a plan, I would say, for sure.
For sure it was planned, yeah. I'm not sure.
That, no doubt about that one. That one I'm pretty convinced about.
Right. But maybe there was also just too many Irish suddenly. And where did they come from?
Well, they bred like rabbits.
Catholics.
Now they're the opposite.
Yeah. The Holodomor is another story of mass death from famine. Scholars claim that 7 to 10 million starved. But a few years later, they cut these numbers in half. I cut them much more. As is the pattern with these alleged mass deaths around the world, Ukraine also has no mass graves for evidence, and photos of faceless individuals lying on roads and streets prove nothing. One photograph actually made me laugh. It, or the woman in it, was shot by a Jewish Austrian chemist named Alexander Wienerberger, who lived and worked in the Soviet Union. The photo depicts a fully dressed woman. There it is.
Wow. That's the iconic photo of the Holodomor?
Yeah. Face not visible, lying on top of an outdoor staircase, apparently unable to climb the last steps because suddenly starvation killed her. That is absurd. And no one is looking or coming to her. That is absurd. The liars tell us that after a few months of starvation, people simply became desensitized to death and started ignoring the death. That is unconvincing, especially because in the background of this specific photo, people are swimming and are bathing, and they do not look emaciated.
So we're saying the Holodomor was fake.
Yeah, it's a hollow, another Holocaust, Holodomor, whatever. Enough of the word games.
Okay, that's the fake famine. Fake famine.
I think so. But, you know, what do you think of the possibility that we might, that they might be plotting a famine in the future?
Well, the overweight North Americans could use one.
Fair enough. My mother keeps track of what's going on in farming around the world. And in Britain, a lot of farmers are being... are choosing not to farm.
There's no money in it.
Right.
There's a YouTuber that was given to me. A woman in upstate New York. Mm-hmm. She's a young woman that became a farmer. It's very interesting. I'm trying to remember her name right now. Female, look it up. Female farmer, upstate New York. She's going on about how all these farms are being, all this land's being bought up. Okay.
By non-farmers, just generally. Okay. My father had to make some extra effort to make sure his organic farm would be bought by people who would use it as an organic farm.
Okay, here she is, the founder. Mm-hmm. Kind of cute, too.
Food crisis in this country. If people our age, if people in their 40s, 30s, and 20s don't get into the business of farming. I stopped by a local orchard yesterday, one of the many dozens of farms that I go to near my farm in upstate New York. And I was greeted with the same sight that I see at every single one of these farms. A couple over the age of 60, usually in their 70s, that can barely walk because they've busted their ass their whole life, are doing their best to manage a multi-dozen acre farm, in this case, an orchard. The kids are nowhere to be found. They either didn't have them or they're not interested. They went to a university in a city far away and they have no desire to pick apples with mom and dad. What I'm seeing is lining up with the stats online that the average age of the American farmer is over 60. I would argue they're over 70. Nobody is anywhere to be found. These people are barely hanging on, managing these huge farms that their parents and grandparents set up before them. When I start talking to these farmers, kind of implying who's going to take over this when you can no longer work or you're no longer with us, they all kind of look at me like, I don't know. We lost 21 million acres of farmland in this country between 2017 and 2023. It's being turned into apartment developments, parking lots, solar farms. There used to be over 6 million farms in this country at the turn of the 20th century, and now there's, I think, 1.8 million. We have a huge, huge problem, and it involves young people farming. You don't have to farm 100 acres. You don't even need a tractor. I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm trying. We are
still. Anyway, that was pretty good. I like this girl, Alexandra Fasulo. She's fantastic. Yeah. Here's her YouTube page. She's very interesting. She just started a farm. She got Amish to help her. And she's also fighting a solar farm in her area. So, yeah, it's fascinating. It's a real thing. It's really happening.
The food issue is core to what we're civilization.
Yeah, you got it. We got to eat, and we can't eat the crap in cardboard boxes. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm. And if you're dependent on cardboard boxes, and well, you're vulnerable. So hence my interest in permaculture and one day gardening for myself.
This is another thing that's really interesting. This land grab.
Mm-hmm. Okay, in the U.S. right now, we lose 2,000 acres of farmland. For those who are unfamiliar with the size of an acre, it's almost the size of a football field. So if you multiply that by 2,000, that's a significant amount of space. In fact, it can be hard for people to conceive just how much space that is. And that's why I believe not enough people are talking about the fact that we are losing 2,000 acres of arable farmland in our country every single day. People will say to me, well, we've always lost farmland. What else is new? We've never lost it at this rate. And in this video, I'm going to go over just how much we're losing, what it means for scarcity, for food prices, for land prices in the future, why more people need to care about this. And then I'm going to end with how you guys can get in on the greatest wealth transfer of our lifetimes. I always talk about $24 trillion worth of farmland is now changing hands. This great wealth transfer kicked off in 2023. It's going to go on for another 15 years. And it's all because the average age of the American farmer is over 60 now. They're either going to retire, pass on, or give their land and their farm to their heirs. The problem is some of them don't have heirs, or their heirs are not interested in working their land. No thanks to the branding around farming, making it sound like it's this terrible, awful career that you can pick and that you'd be better off not doing it in the first place.
Well, there you go. This is what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's a problem.
Yeah, I really like this.
Waco or Waco Soto asked if I own farmland here. I wish, maybe further south. Or
how much would it cost there?
Well, it's a bit prohibitive for me in this little village where I am. It's a bit of a overpriced. Mm-hmm. What do they call one of the jewels of the area? But no, I'm sure I could. It's not unreasonable prices elsewhere, but no, it's not the right time for me, I guess. And certainly, no, I can't afford to buy right now.
Well, you're over 62. You're not exactly.
Hey, 57 still.
Well, yeah, you're sort of at that retirement age. It's not a good time to start a farm.
Well, yes and no. This doesn't have to be heavy labor. I'm not. Farming is not my calling. Gardening, yes. Small scale farming. Gardening. And my father is still doing some. And he's
where is he?
He's on Vancouver Island. He can't stop himself.
You can farm there?
Yeah. He had some. It's great for vegetables there, and he had an organic farm with berries, plenty of berries. It's good there. Anyway, I'm in better shape than he is, and I intend to be around until I'm 100.
Okay, good. Well, you're on your way.
Hope so.
All right, Pete, good show tonight. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Interesting. Oh. I'm going to skip a week next week.
Can you share my contact sheet?
Yeah, where is it? Oh, here it is. You have it.
Ooh. Yeah.
You made a contact sheet.
Yeah.
Okay. Read it out.
Well, it's a bit too big, but...
Where can they get these books?
By emailing me and Yes, there's.
Oh, right. We have an email address for you. Did you get anything? Peter@fakeologist.com.
Yeah, I have to update. Did I add that new email address? I will add that.
Well, I'm just being, yeah, Peter@fakeologist.com. It forwards to your Gmail, which is always a little too complicated for me. So yeah. We've got it set up, Peter@fakeologist.com.
Thanks for that.
So if you have anything you want from Peter, he's got a bunch of books, The Holy Spells, The Criminal Bible, The Roman Hoax, Counterfeit Classics, Lucifer's Library, Encyclopedia, Comedia, The Holy Comedy. Good stuff.
Yeah.
Help him out. Bargain with him. Make a deal.
Yeah, I'm open to that. It's important to get the word out.
You can pay with PayPal, e-transfer, e-transfer to Wise. You can send him an Amazon gift card, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
You have Amazon down there, I think. Is that correct?
We do.
So a guy comes down the cobblestone lane in his Amazon truck and drops your package?
Yeah, usually they're honking on the street. This is a very short street and wondering where I am because my house is not visible from the street.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Very good. Well, stay well, stay warm. Obviously, it's not a problem down in
Oaxaca. You stay warm there.
Oh, I know. It's crazy today. Yesterday, I thought my face was going to fall off. I was trying to put diesel in my truck, and the wind was blowing. It was painful.
Yeah, I've heard from a friend I spoke to today.
Yeah, it's crazy. Mm-hmm. It's really, really crazy. It's going all the way down to Florida, too.
Yikes.
But this isn't the Weather Channel. That's for another YouTube channel. And those channels, by the way, make big money. Those YouTubers that do weather. Have you seen them?
Yeah. But you could say it's not global warming. I want to stay on the fakeology theme.
It's the opposite. If people don't give up their ideas about that this year, they'll never shake them. Because I know they changed the branding to climate change, but forget it. We need climate change towards the warmth in the worst way here.
Yeah, nature doesn't mind warmth at all. It thrives on warm weather.
That's growth.
Yeah.
Warmth equals growth, which is the opposite of what the king wants for his earth. He wants death, destruction, and contraction.
Mm.
Right?
Looks that way. There was a good video on birth rate in Canada.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, gosh.
So, you have that video?
I could track it and send it to you. Did you get my links to my other work?
I did. I haven't had a chance yet to watch them.
Okay, no problem. Or post them. One of them was requested by that gentleman about The Alchemist, the book.
Okay. Let me just make sure I have it. I'll put the links. Let's see here.
The second one was a parody of a BBC mini documentary on coffee, which was hilariously stupid. I mean, probably intentionally, the makers probably knew they were feeding us BS.
So you did a review of The Alchemist. Is that what this video is?
Right. Yeah, that's an old one, but it's me.
I'm going to put a link to that in the show notes for you and me.
Thanks.
And the other one is the parody. Copy link. I'm going to look at that next. And I'll put a link to that in the show notes. FAK 1214, Prophet of Fiction. All right, Peter, have a good night.
Thank you. You too.
And thanks, everybody. Thanks for joining. Fakeologist.com/donate. You can donate Bitcoin as well. It's on sale now, so get your Bitcoin and send it this way. Thank you, Suzette, for the very interesting show comment. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Peter appreciates that, and he'll put it up on his BitChute and his YouTube and wherever else you want to find it. So take care, everyone. Tomorrow is an ounce of salt per day. It's Monday. That's when he calls in. Take care. Bye-bye.